This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com.
There's only one place I would have ever heard this song. I don't even know who this is. I would have just been like, oh, yeah. We'll tell you at the end if you don't already know what the theme is. What? Who is this? I don't know who this song is.
This is Pink. This is old school Pink.
Oh!
Yes, that's why I was like, what?
I had no idea. I've only heard this song in the context of this movie.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Of the theme that we're playing to.
The theme of the day.
Yes. Perception. More important than reality in college football, and it gets a little annoying when you are the conference that's perceived to be not as good as the others, right? It's got to be very frustrating for teams in the Atlantic Division of the ACC right now, where there may be, how many teams are in division? Seven each? There are really good teams in the Atlantic Division. Syracuse being a surprise this year. NC State and Wake Forest looking about like what we expected of them. Maybe there was hope that NC State would be even better than they kind of have shown. Clemson, obviously, is good. Florida State is good. Louisville doesn't look terrible, though they're not being considered good right now. I'm forgetting somebody from the division. But regardless, it's a good division. But this week's top 25 poll is just the latest example of where things get screwy. And I forgot to say who sent this tweet, because I like to give people credit to it, but it spoke to it perfectly. FSU and LSU played each other. FSU won. They both have one loss. Florida State just lost to number 15 Wake Forest. If I didn't say Wake Forest, but I just said Florida State lost to the number 15 team in the country, you'd be like, oh, well, where were they? They were like 23rd or 24th in the country. Well, losing to 15, that shouldn't hurt you too bad, right? Auburn, unranked, is who LSU just beat, and they have now moved into the top 25. So LSU is ranked with their one loss to Auburn, who is unranked. FSU, unranked, even though they beat LSU, and their only loss is to Wake Forest. And it's only because people said FSU lost to Wake Forest. That's a bad loss.
Right.
Not everyone. Joe Giglio didn't do that in his vote. I know people around here probably did not. But there are a lot of people who are like, I don't believe Wake Forest could be 15. That's a bad loss. And it matters in college football in a way that maybe it doesn't in any other sport. Outside of, and this is kind of what I like to get to, people like to debate on what things are sports and what aren't sports, right? Is golf a sport? Oh, you're just walking, right? Is NASCAR a sport because you're driving? To me, I'm not going to get into the labels of what is a sport or is not a sport, but I'm more drawn to things that, regardless of if the refs make mistake, regardless of how things play out or whatever, if in theory the winner is determined by the play on the field, right? One tennis player beats the other, they're the winner. One golfer finishes with the best score, they're the winner. One team scores more points than the other, then the winner. They're the winner. I have less interest in sports. A lot of them think Winter Olympic or Olympic. I have nothing against gymnastics. I have nothing against figure skating. I am blown away by the athleticism. And this is kind of true in boxing, too, because boxing's kind of both, right? Like, you can knock the other guy out, but if you don't, then it goes down to judges.
Yeah.
And, like, anytime you get to judges, it's like, well,
how
do we know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. How do we know? Like, mm-hmm. Well, how do we know? Now, in sports like diving and gymnastics, they've tried to make it more of an objective thing that the judges do. Like, well, if they attempt this, you have to give them this many points.
Right. Or
you can only, they try and make it so it's less subjective, but it's still just the judges, right?
Yeah.
And so you don't know. And certainly we've seen times where it seems like the person from this country is all, voting against people from that country,
uh-huh,
or whatever. And so, more than we've ever been willing to admit.
Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We're talking retirement and coach. I'm a simple guy, but I like colors. Tell me how I can color code money and get ready for retirement.
I like colors too. I
like
pictures.
Colors.
I like graphs. I don't like just a bunch of words. And so what we try to do is we try to break down all those words on your statement, all those numbers into three colors: red, green, yellow. People are amazed when they come in, and most of their money is in the red category.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Now, red means high horsepower potential. It also means high loss potential. So you have to, it's a give and take. You can, they want to do that or that. Yellow means liquid money. You can get it any time. It's not going to earn anything. Green gives you safe growth, but also gives you lifetime income. As we get closer to retirement, we need some green accounts. We need the green zone, we call it. In Baghdad, green zone was important. Green zone's important for you, too. The next 10 people, Adam, it's a $1,000 value. Golden ticket we're going to put together for you, your very own total plan that has a green zone.
It's a traffic light. I hope it's green for you. 800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuda.
Especially, the craziest thing is to see how much better it is now that we even have just a four-team playoff. Or even when we had the BCS, and we at least tried, honestly, to put the two best teams together. When you go back and look at titles in the 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s, yes, there are on-field results. But it's almost like boxing, where it's like, there's some on-field results. Like, yes, somebody got knocked down or somebody won this game. But ultimately, titles were given out by judges. Mm-hmm. And even worse, it was like judges that lived in the same, you know, like everybody in the South was probably voting for Alabama and everybody in the Midwest was voting for Notre Dame and everybody out West was voting for Southern Cal, right?
Totally biased.
And when you go, and we've gotten better about it. We have the four-team playoff. The playoff expansion will make it an even more real champion. But where you start the season matters, and that's all based on perception, right? I mean, look at North Carolina last year. Because they had a quarterback that was getting attention, because they had a coach who was a media darling, the perception changed, and because they're North Carolina, because they have a strong athletic prowess, right? Once they had backed that up with a couple good seasons, then like our perception of them changed, and we started them at number 10. Wake Forest suffers maybe more than anyone from this, of perception. Of like, we still don't believe, even if they prove it again and again, we're like, but it's Wake Forest, And to be fair, we talked about this earlier in the show, for several years, they kept running up against Clemson, which was everybody's definition of like, you know, an elite team, and Wake Forest looked like they couldn't play in the same class, right? But Wake Forest maybe should have started the season ranked even higher than they are. They look like they went toe-to-toe with Clemson. They beat Florida State. They haven't been, I mean, they had a close game against Liberty, who may be a top 25 team soon. And again, we've seen year after year them finish the season flying up higher in the polls than we started them. And it's just, in a way that, perfect example, NFL. We may have a perception of the divisions or certain teams. Like, oh, we always think the Cowboys are good. Or all it takes is the Cowboys winning two games in a row and the Eagles starting out to be like, oh, that division's going to be tough again, right? Or we say, oh, the Steelers, we perceive them. If there were a top 25 poll, we would probably start the Steelers at number 10 every year just because of the Steelers, right?
Sure.
Just because we believe in their system. It's worked. We don't want to sound like idiots and not say the Steelers are good and then watch us be proven wrong, right? And the same thing. Every year we would start with the Jets and the Dolphins, you know, the Jaguars, and maybe the Panthers fit in that too. We would start with them towards the end, right? And we talk about this, and in ways I feel like the NFC South would get slighted by this before Tom Brady came in. Obviously, Drew Brees was a draw. But, like, because it wasn't a big TV conference and because the Saints and the Bucks had been deplorable, just worthless teams in the 70s and 80s, and the Panthers hadn't proven anything, and the Falcons hadn't proven anything. Even through like the 2000s, the 2010s, the perception would be that the NFC South is soft. And also because a different team wins it every year. So it's like, oh, it must not be a dominant team because some new team comes winning. But then the Saints were winning Super Bowls. The Bucks win Super Bowls. And it's like the perception in the NFC South may be that it's bad. But that doesn't matter once the playoffs start, right? If we did it like college football, then the good Saints teams and the good Bucks teams would have started the season ranked 27 or 28. And by the end of the season, they would have been like, oh, a number 8 team and a number 10 team. But that wouldn't have even gotten you into the tournament for the playoffs, right? So at least perception matters in all sports. But nothing like in college football, where if you don't have everyone think of you as a certain level, and be able to start the season there, it becomes very hard to move up and have poll mobility, right? To move forward as a program. And I feel like they need to fix it. I don't think the answer is to not have the AP Top 25 poll, but it's just incredible how much that stuff matters. And I know that the committee, they probably don't look at poll rankings and stuff, but there's no way it can't influence you, right? There's no way you can't think, well, you can't not know that a team is a top five or a top 10 team, even if it's only because they started the season there and they haven't lost. And it influences. We joked earlier with Chip Patterson about Texas got some number one votes in the coaches poll at the beginning. Everybody was like, who voted Texas number one? And Chip said, I bet it was Saban because Alabama plays Texas and he wants Texas to be as highly ranked as possible when they beat him because he knows how the system works, right? That's another top 15 win for Alabama when they beat, you know, they beat him. So it's it always works against the ACC where Wake Forest is going to be slow to get ranked. NC State is going to be slow to get ranked and not get as ranked as high as they might have if they were playing in a Big Ten or the SEC. But the other part about it is, I don't think people necessarily want to fix it. The sport is geared towards the fans, and the people that are most passionate about college football are in those southern states, those college towns where they fill them with 100,000-seat stadiums, and that's the social agenda for the fall. And the Midwest, where it's Notre Dame and Ohio State and Michigan and those schools, right? So, like, the people that stand to get rich, the power brokers, the TV execs, the universities, whatever, are going to cater the sport to where most fans are. Now, does that mean if they equalize things, would there be more? Would people care more about North Carolina and NC State football if they found themselves being treated on the same level as like SEC schools? Probably not. I mean, that's probably, there's a reason why schools settle into what their perceptions are, and I don't know how you could fix it. But I do think expanding the playoff, putting 12 teams in, makes perception less of a big deal than it currently is. It is crazy to think back that basically it's like Olympic diving judges were deciding national championships back in the 60s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. Our system is much better now, but still, when you look at the polls, when you see how much beating a team like Auburn, doesn't matter if they're good or not, but if you beat Auburn, people say that's a good win. And if you lose to Wake Forest, doesn't matter if Wake Forest won their division last year, doesn't matter if they've gone to 16 straight bowl games, whatever they've done under Dave Clawson, doesn't matter if they're winning 10 games a year, when you lose to Wake Forest, a lot of people just say, oh, that's a bad loss for Florida State, take them out of the polls. And that's wrong. And we allow it to happen, and it affects the sport. I'll still be watching, but it's the truth. The last thing I wanted to say was Wisconsin just fired their coach this weekend. There will be some discussion about whether or not Dave Doran will be interested in the job. Now, this has happened before with different jobs, so Dave Doran's got a stock answer. It'll be fine, right? But the reason people will keep bringing his name up is because their perception is that Wisconsin is a better job than NC State. And funny enough, obviously, if you're getting paid more money, that matters for people's jobs, right? That feels like a better job. But perception is about the only thing that would rate Wisconsin as a better job than NC State to me. In reality, they're pretty equal. But perception of Big Ten, of Wisconsin football, that is perceived to be a better job, and therefore I think it's one that Dave Doran will at least be looking at, and we'll see if they'll be looking at him. We're about halfway through the show. 90 minutes in, 90 minutes left. It's time for some halftime entertainment.
Now your halftime entertainment.
Halftime. All right, we already had one report. It was DK Metcalf. Metcalf carted off the field. Like, oh, is he okay?
Yikes.
Come to find out later, it was just a bathroom break. And then we told you earlier, he tweeted the clinch walk wasn't going to cut it, which is just an amazing way to confirm that, yes, you got carted off the field to go to the bathroom. But DK Metcalf was not the only famous person that, you know, had to go in the middle of their job. Here was Lil Nas X, he of Old Town Road fame. the videos I've seen are basically the curtain is closed, the crowd's out there. I don't know if he had started his performance and stopped or if he was just running late, but he wanted to be completely transparent with the crowd, and he let them know what was up. So it sounded like it was in the middle of the show, right?
Yeah, it seemed like it was.
And he's like, this is not part of the show.
Nope.
But I just, and also, you got to be pretty darn comfortable with yourself and also like pretty famous if you can just say, hey, you know what? I know you people in the front, you probably paid $1,000. Everybody probably paid $100. Hold up a second. I just need a little me time.
I got to take care of some things.
I'm going to. I'll spare you my, you know, bathroom euphemisms or whatever they might be. But I respect it. Lil Nas X wearing just full transparency.
Yeah.
Much like DK Metcalf. Don't hide it. We all have to go at some point, right?
It happens. We're humans. So.
For him, it just happened. It seems like this would be true of athletes and performers. And I feel like I've heard that. Even I've had friends who played high school football. Or, I mean, even I ran cross country in high school. Different. But like a lot of times athletes... And I would assume performers, too, who, like, do this regularly. Like, you have a routine.
Right.
You know what I mean? We're like, and usually this...
is taken care of.
Is factored into the routine, at least, right? Yes. We're like, you know, for some people it might be, I was about to, they're like, my wife's a runner. And I was like, I probably don't want to bring my wife into this discussion. Yeah. But I'll say this. I've been with her at marathons, before marathons. And that's something that's on people's mind when they're running, right? Like, because I'm going to be running for 4 hours.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to factor in. And I think athletes and performers usually have either it's something like, you know, you want to take care of it first thing, or something like, it might be the last thing you do before whatever. But, like, usually it's part of your routine.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that performers at a high level as Lil Nas X and DK Metcalf have a routine, but maybe...
The routine
was just off.
Yeah.
Much like our dogs during the Hurricane Ian.
Yep.
Totally messed up the routine.
Uh-huh. Completely.
Messed up the routine, and then you're going at weird times.
Uh-huh.
Everything is weird.
Maybe something. Yeah. Stress. Who knows?
So, Lil Nas X joining DK Metcalf. Are there any other reports of people using the bathroom during their...
I'm curious. I have not heard of any this past weekend, but maybe.
There's usually a good... you know who have good bathroom stories is announcers. Like broadcasters, you know?
Because,
like, I mean, we deal with this on a smaller level of, like, you know exactly how long a break is.
There's a window.
You know what you can do.
Yep.
But, and I'll never forget, it was... Brando used to do this all the time. And I do not begrudge any announcer who does this. At halftime, you know, there's probably one bathroom in the media place and, like, everybody's in there, whatever. And, like, the announcer will just come through there and be like, yo, God, I don't care what the line situation is. I'm going right in the front. And they're just letting you know, like, look, I'm going to be back on TV in 2 minutes.
Right.
I got to get this thing done. So we're
situation.
So we're doing it.
Yeah.
Next up on Halftime Entertainment. Saturday Night Live back this week. Are you a Saturday Night Live fan?
Sometimes I watch it. I guess more old school, maybe.
Yeah.
But.
It's we've come to realize everybody likes Lorne Michaels has said this, and I think it's been echoed of like Saturday Night Live when you were in high school was the best Saturday Night Live ever, right?
Yeah.
I don't think that's quite true for me. I there were a couple casts I think in like elementary and middle school that I liked more. I may not have appreciated all the humor, but also it actually was funnier when I was in high school, but that's neither here nor there. But the cast is sort of reinventing itself this year, much like we've mentioned already. Been a couple weird years because of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe some people would have moved off at a different time. And it's like they got nothing going else on. They should stay around. So they let about 8 people go, brought some new people in. So there's a lot of...
fresh faces.
And focus on what's it going to look like now. They lost some big... Kate McKinnon was a big star.
Yes.
Pete Davidson wasn't even that big a star on Saturday Night Live, I feel like. He wasn't like the anchor of many skits, but
now
he was a huge name.
Like a famous boyfriend.
Yeah, he's
you know, dating everyone.
But he's gone. He brought, you know, he brought viewers to the show probably in his own way. So there's a lot of focus on the new cast and how it's all going to fit and what it's going to be. So Saturday Night Live did a Manning cast breaking down Saturday Night Live during Saturday Night Live. Here's what it sounded like when they opened the season this weekend.
Hey, everybody, I'm Peyton Manning.
And I'm Eli Manning, his brother.
Yeah, I think they know we're brothers because of the same last name.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this is our Manning cast where we do live analysis of what's already playing on TV. Normally, we do it during Monday Night Football.
Yeah, but tonight's not Monday. It's Saturday.
Great insight, Eli.
Yeah, so instead of football, we decided to check out the season premiere of SNL.
There are a lot of changes at the show, which could be exciting. Let's see what they spent the entire summer coming up with.
That is the SNL Manning cast. Now, I had to look up, Miles Teller was the host.
Yeah.
And I didn't know who that was, but apparently he was in Top Gun.
Oh, okay. I mean, he does a pretty good Peyton.
Rooster. But that's what part of the reason I didn't realize he was a host was because when I first saw the skit, I was like, this guy does a really good Peyton Manning impression.
Yeah.
And then the other guy is supposed to be an actor, and I didn't feel like he did a good Eli at all. The whole joke for Eli was that he was, like, kind of dumb and didn't add much. Like, oh, like, tonight's Saturday, you know, and I'm his brother, ditzy. Whatever. But it was kind of funny. Again, they were breaking down what was happening in the skit as it was happening and whether or not it was good or bad move. But I also just thought it was pretty cool recognition for the Manning cast. It's now reached a level where it's being spoofed by Saturday Night Live, right?
You know you've made it, I guess,
yes.
When Saturday Night Live is spoofing you.
Yes. I was going to ask another question about this, and I forgot what it was, so I apologize for that one.
It's okay. It happens.
Do you watch the Manning cast?
I do every now and again, yes. It's hilarious.
They're good. I like watching the highlights of the Manning cast.
Yeah.
But I don't like to, like,
no, I can't
sit
do
through
the whole
and watch,
thing.
Watch everything.
No,
so.
But I like some of their little takes.
Dream of Mine?
Mm-hmm.
Host Saturday Night Live. I don't know how I'm going to make it happen.
I could see you doing
but
that.
I feel like I have no doubt that I could do it, and I would throw my, you know, I'd be a gracious host. I'd be like, you guys are awesome writers. I'll do whatever. Let me know if you want ideas or you just want to tell me stuff to do. You know? My problem is, like, I think I could do the job, but I have no way to ever get to where I would be asked to do the job. Like that,
you got to know people.
That part's harder. Like, I think I could do it. I don't think I could ever get to the point that someone would ask me to do it. So.
Sometimes you just got to know people.
We'll see. But yeah, Miles Teller was the host this weekend and Kendrick Lamar was the musical guest.
Okay. Do you watch MMA at all?
No, but I know that you do.
I do. I do. And this past weekend, there was some drama that happened with it. So UFC Vegas 60 was this past weekend, and not a lot of people were actually talking about the fights themselves or the results from them. Most are stuck on Dana White.
That's the best sport. That's the best of it in sports. Like, let's talk about what's going on in the peripheral. Not
exactly.
The best, but it is the most fun often. What did Dana White do?
Dana White, the owner of UFC, he was caught in a big lie. So earlier, presser. The one of the main event girls, Mackenzie Dern, actually leaked it during one of the press conferences that someone big, a celebrity, someone rich, was actually renting out the venue. Now, Dana denied it and said that that wasn't true. Well, I don't know why he thinks people aren't going to notice. Like, 10 minutes into it, who do we see in the front row? Mark Zuckerberg.
Interesting.
Uh-huh. No one else in the venue. Mark Zuckerberg and his wife and, I guess, crew. But here's the shade about it. Because he rented it out, the family, friends, media, none of them could be in the venue as well. So that's where a lot of heat's coming from. Dana lied about it, but then, like, family, friends, and people just couldn't even be there because Mark, you know, I guess normal humans are beneath him.
So, yeah. So, hold on. I'm very intrigued. Mm-hmm. So Zuckerberg not only rented out, like, the place, like, he rented
the
event
whole place
just for himself.
It was empty. It felt like it was COVID again, because back when COVID was going
on, that was going to be my next question.
Yes.
This had nothing to do with, like, if he hadn't rented it. So basically, he paid for he bought every ticket.
Pretty much.
He sold the place out himself for his wife. It seems so weird. Like, I can.
In a world where everyone was forced to leave the comfort of their homes to get drinks, one hero emerged. Its name was Drizly, the number one app for alcohol delivery. And it allowed everyone to compare prices on the biggest selection of beer, wine, and spirits and get them delivered in under 60 minutes. All they needed to do was download the Drizly app or go to drizly.com. That's drizly.com to take destiny in their hands. Dun, dun, dun.
I can understand a rich person doing rich person things.
Yes.
Right? Buy your boat, buy whatever. But, like, it seems so obvious in that scenario to do the right thing. And, like, you don't have to invite regular fans.
No.
But, like, yeah, the family of the people getting punched in the face.
Yeah.
Invite a couple media. Even, you know, you can be a jerk and, like, not invite the magazine, not allow the magazine that wrote a bad piece on you. Like, even that's fine.
Sure.
But, like, allow the regular ESPN people to cover the event.
Exactly.
But, like, it's just a disconnect for Zuckerberg.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's plenty of rich people who, either through not growing up rich or just by being thoughtful, conscientious people, handle themselves better than this, right?
Yes,
where it's like, sure, do a rich thing, flex on us, but, like, yeah, why?
It
just, why leave out?
It comes across as like we are so beneath him that. But then Dana is so, he thinks that he's slick or something that we're not going to find out. Meanwhile, on the Twitters, there's all these pictures of Zuckerberg like cheering and standing
like
up.
How weird is that to just sit there and watch two men or two women or whatever, two people fight and it's just you?
Just you.
Like the whole part of it is like to part of the crowd, right?
The environment, the atmosphere. But there is no atmosphere. It's just like an empty gym.
That is so weird.
It's uncomfortable.
It adds perfectly to like the Zuckerberg persona, right?
It's perfect for him.
Of just a weird, out of touch geek man.
This is such a Zuckerberg thing. And then, of course,
rich UFC, enough to do it.
UFC's out of touch because they're posting pictures of Zuckerberg like cheering it on with no one behind him,
so
saying,
weird.
Oh, Zuckerberg's just like all of us. No,
so weird.
No, he's not. He's not like any of us.
And here's the other thing, like the North Carolina Zoo is offering half-price admission, or maybe free admission, I can't remember what it was, to people displaced by Hurricane Ian, right?
Okay.
Like, oh, if you're, you know, up here from wherever, like, come get something to do. When you're doing something like that and you're a rich person and people are probably going to make fun of you, like, another easy optic thing is, like, you bought the whole place? Like, bring in some charity or...
Sure.
I'm not trying to be patronizing about it, but, like, find some community that would normally never be able to afford this but would enjoy it.
Yeah.
And let them, you know, have fun. And again, even if you're using it as a PR shield, like, fine, but those 20 people get to go to sit front row to a UFC fight.
Yeah.
It's like so easy to do some of these things better.
He already doesn't have the best PR anyway, but like, we did just have a hurricane, so he could have had some maybe people who were out of their homes. I don't know.
You know,
thinking off the cuff.
You know Zuckerberg, like throws punches in the mirror with his shirt off and
totally
like looks at himself and like tells himself
he
looks good.
I can do
stuff.
This. This is my next career.
What a weirdo,
dude.
Yeah. God.
It's intense.
That is Halftime Entertainment.